started the recorder, and what I'll do is I'll start open up the Kindle and see what page we're on so I can let you know. I believe we're on NTI Colossians chapter 4. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And that is on page 359 in my Kindle. 360 in the paperback book. Okay, so here we go. NTI Colossians chapter 4. Watch your mind, and you watch what it is that you do. With this knowledge, you may gladly choose again. But you will not choose again if you keep out of awareness that which you are doing. So watch your mind vigorously and know what it is that you do. It's interesting because we usually associate doing with the body. But because what's been happening in NTI, you know, we had NTI Ephesians first. And NTI Ephesians taught that the real process that kind of makes this illusory experience or makes the world, the real process is believing a thought, right, or believing an idea. And when we believe that idea, and NTI Colossians has said with faith and passion, that sends an energy out into the world which kind of paints a picture that matches that energy. And it also brings the energy back to us. So when you realize all that is happening with thinking, you realize thinking really is a great big doing, right? It's a huge doing. It's more of a doing than this little body's doing. Yeah. So this is telling us that if we watch our mind, we're watching what we're doing, because we're watching that energy that we're choosing and that energy that we're sharing with the entire universe and that energy that we're inviting to come back to us. It's a lot of doing that's happening. Okay, so verses 2 to 6. Now it says, watch this body that is in the world. Watch it with great interest, for it represents the thoughts that are foremost in your mind. See it as the manifestation of your wishes and your prayers. See it as the physical representation of that which you desire. Well, sometimes it's difficult to watch the mind, and the reason it's difficult to watch the mind is because, well, the truth is, humans, until we learn not to be, we're all masters of denial. So, you know, we can have all kinds of grievance thoughts and not even see them because we don't want to see them, right? So what this is saying is another way to watch the mind is to watch the body, because the body is acting out what the mind is thinking. So, for example, if I find myself sitting here, you know, before NTI class, just chatting, and I'm chatting with you all about some friend, one of our friends who's not here tonight, and I'm gossiping about that friend that's not here tonight, if I'm really paying attention, I might start noticing, wait a minute, I have some grievance thoughts against this person, because I'm sitting here gossiping and trying to get other people to see it my way. So there must be a grievance here. Then I can go and look at the mind and say, so what's my grievance? What do I have against her or him, right? So the body is just kind of a symbol. It's a manifestation of what's going on in the mind. And since sometimes we don't watch the mind because of denial, the body will sometimes point out for us, though, what we're thinking. So this is why we want to watch the body. We're watching the body in order to help us watch the mind.
So like when I feel the...
Exactly.
I would say that gossip's a good one. I feel that, but... if I get caught up in that, then I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah, you don't feel right in the stomach area. The gut tightens up.
Me doing this, yeah.
Yes. Now, as you watch this body, do so with honesty, detachment, and the true desire to learn. Does this body, in all that it does and in all that it shares, represent the desire you would have it represent? So again, if my desire is, you know, awakening or peace or joy or always following intuition or whatever it is that is your kind of your spiritual desire, well, the question is, when I watch the body, am I finding that my thinking is always in harmony with that desire, or am I finding that it's not? And so, for example, if my desire is to... let's say my desire is to let go of all grievances, okay? And then I catch myself gossiping about someone. Well, I can see that my body then is not in alignment with my desire, right? And the important thing is to see this without judgment. That's why it says to watch with detachment. You know, but what I'm trying to do in a very honest and sincere way is find where I'm not fully in alignment with my own goal. Because if you're not fully in alignment with your own goal, you're not going to achieve your goal, and whose goal is it anyway, right? It's yours. So you're just trying to get the whole team, your head, your body, everything in alignment with what you want. And that's really all you're doing. So you don't want to judge yourself. That's where people make a mistake with this kind of practice, is judging themselves. You don't want to judge yourself, but you want to see it. Like if you start to raise your voice and yell, right? You start to raise your voice and yell, and then you see it. You know now that you are believing thoughts of grievance, thoughts of judgment, and you know you don't want to. Now you can turn your attention back to those thoughts and look at those thoughts. So you're catching your areas of disharmony in order to bring yourself into harmony with your true desire. So you're just trying to line yourself up in one line instead of being scattered. Now, sentence 7 says, good news, my brother. The body is nothing. What it does is nothing to be distressed over. But you may learn from watching, and then using the knowledge you gain from learning, you may choose to choose again. So watch what the body does and be glad you can see it so clearly, you know. So like if I catch myself gossiping, right, I catch myself gossiping, the mistake would be to then say, oh, you know, I'm such a bad person. Here I am saying I want to let go of grievances, and I'm sitting here gossiping about so-and-so. Oh, I'm so awful. You know, that's just not helpful. There's nothing helpful in that at all. But what would be helpful, you know, I sit here and I'm gossiping to you guys, I'm telling you yada, 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 and then I see it. Ah, I see what I'm doing. This is not in alignment with what I want. And I can immediately take myself out of the conversation. And even if you guys say, even if you guys say, well, what next, what next? And you can say, you know what, this isn't feeling right for me, I changed my mind. Right? You can stop immediately, and you can do it without judgment. You can do an immediate correction without judging yourself. It's just seeing, I don't want to do that. You know, I really, from the heart, don't want to do that. And so you drop it. Because the way that we act, for the most part, is coming from our habitual conditioned thinking. And you know, habitual conditioned thinking runs kind of on autopilot. And what we're doing is we're retraining that. And you are going to catch yourself making mistakes because this is so well trained, the habitual conditioning pattern, right? So you have to be, last week we practiced praising our mistakes, right? You have to be willing to see your mistakes and be happy. Ah, I found another place where I wasn't in harmony with myself, my true self. And then correct it. You know, you choose to choose again, as this is saying. But you can't choose again if you don't see the mistake, right? Yeah. And that's what you have been talking about, Wayne, when you talk about how you'll start to post something kind of political, you know, antagonizing, and then you see it. And when you see it, what do? You stop. I know you've deleted posts, right? You've gone back and deleted them. And you said now you're learning to do that without judgment. That's what this is talking about.
Same thing with losing my temper, you know. Like the last time I lost my temper, I just threw the keys against the wall and... or I threw them against my coffee table and all. The only thing that it ruined was a piece of paper that I needed, but I could replace it. But normally I would have then judged myself for that, and then it's like, what's next? And the autopilot thing too, like the next step is I kick something, then I do this, and I break this.
And so what did you do after you threw your keys on the table this time?
I was like mad that I ruined the piece of paper, but then I realized all I have to do is go back to school and get another one. It's fine. And I can just stop this right now because I don't want to be acting like an idiot.
Right.
I just try to like not judge myself, but just say like I don't want to feel like this, so
perfect.
I don't have to do this.
So just an immediate.
It's still kind of hard. Like I had to
talk to yourself
deep
a little bit,
and kind of talk to myself, and just sit there for a few minutes. But it's getting easier.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. All right. So verses 7 to 9. What does your mind report to you when you watch your brothers, listen to them, or think of them? Be careful. What your mind reports as it thinks of them is a trick. Your mind is distracting you from watching the mind in the way you intend to. Remember that everything you think as you watch your brother, listen to him, or think of him is a thought within your mind that must be watched by you. Look at your thoughts about your brother. What is it that you are desiring by allowing those thoughts within the mind? What is it that you are asking for through the flow of creation that is you? So today at the Choose Again retreat, a friend was talking about this exact thing, that how she used to always have thoughts in her mind. She said, I thought I could read everybody's mind, and I knew exactly what they were thinking about me. That's what she said. And then she used me as an example, and she talked about how she used to think that I was always, always judging her, that I thought she wasn't spiritually advanced. She says she thought that I was judging her house because it wasn't as clean as my house. And she was talking, but then at some point, she realized that that judgment of her was actually happening in her mind, right? She was the one judging herself and then imagining that Regina was thinking it. And we all do that all the time. You know, we sit there and we judge ourselves, but instead of me thinking this about me, I think Wayne's thinking this about me, right? And that's what this is saying. This is saying that, you know, what does your mind report when you watch your brothers, listen to them, or think of them? Be careful. What your mind reports as it thinks of them is a trick. You know, it's my mind thinking that what they're thinking, and I'm not noticing that it's my mind, right? Everything you think as you watch your brother, listen to him, or think of him is a thought within your mind that must be watched by you. And then it asks, what is it that you are desiring by allowing those thoughts within the mind? So, you know, if I'm sitting here imagining that, you know, you are judging me, well, what am I really desiring and imagining that you are judging me? You know, I suppose there are several ways to answer that, but it seems like a good way to answer that is separation. You know, if I'm imagining that you are judging me, I'm kind of desiring separation and conflict, and you know, I'm desiring that because I'm the one sitting here imagining it. It's the story I'm making up in my head. It's what I'm desiring. Now, is that what I want? Is that no, that's not in alignment with what I want. Then why don't I just drop it? Why don't I just say to myself, oh, truth is, I don't know what he's thinking. Truth is, I don't know what she's thinking. I'm just making this up. And I used to go through this because I think this is a very common addiction. I think we all do this, right? We all think that we think we know what other people are thinking about us. And I had to go through a reversal process to drop that conditioning. And I would just say, oh, I don't know what he's thinking. This is in my mind. And I would say that to myself, oh, I don't know what she's thinking. This is in my mind. And at some point, I can't tell you exactly when, but I stopped thinking about what people are thinking about me. Like, that doesn't happen anymore, because the conditioning was reversed enough that it died. But I had, you know, again, in a helpful way, I talked to myself. I would say, I don't know what that person's thinking. This is in my mind. I look right at it. This is my mind. I'm the one telling this story to myself.
Just to remind yourself.
Just to remind myself, yeah.
Well, it's not a big, huge, like, argument in your head. It's just...
just paying attention to where it's really happening. Because my mind is trying to tell me it's happening out there. That it's Dan. It's not Dan. It's me.
Are you judging her, Dan?
Yeah, stop judging me, Dan. Look how he has his glasses down his nose, judging me. Yeah. All right, verses 10 to 15. Give greetings unto your heart as you learn what you ask by watching your mind. Give greetings to your heart in this way. Remember to watch your mind vigorously, for that is the desire of the heart. As you honor its request, you send it greetings of love. So it's using the heart as the symbol of your true desire or your spiritual desire. And it's saying that when you do this, you know, you're in alignment with your heart. And that's what you really want to be in alignment with or in harmony with is your heart. So you're really following your true self. Your true self is represented by your heart, not your mind. Remain detached from the thoughts that you find, yet fully observant. The heart bids you to remember that the mind receives thoughts of all kinds. It is your habit to accept whatever the mind receives. Now you are being asked to learn discernment. Notice what is received, but realize you do not need to keep it just because you received it. Receiving it does not mean you must keep it. It was helpful to me to start to see the brain as like a radio receiver. And, you know, there are all kinds of energies because people are thinking all kinds of things. There are all kinds of energies just flying around in the world, in the air. And, you know, some of those energies are hate energies. Some of them are fear energies. Some of them are guilt energies. And when my mind picks those energies up, it translates it into a personal story. But it's just picking up the energies that are floating around in the world. And if this is just a receiver, just picking up the energies that are floating around in the world,
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
A teacher once told me that we don't know why we think the thoughts that we're thinking in the moment. In other words, I'm walking to the park and I have a thought, but the instructor was saying is that we don't know why. Apparently, we don't know why the source of this thought arose, has arisen. So my question is, do you agree with that? That you could be in some, it's like a contaminated atmosphere, and then you could have a thought that you don't know where
it comes from?
You couldn't pinpoint the source. That was the...
Yeah, you know, I've had only a few times in my life. A few times in my life, but I've had maybe this is a really repressed psychic ability or something, but a few times in my life I've had a thought come into my mind, clear as day, that literally had nothing to do with this personal story. You know, like it was like I picked up somebody else's thought by accident. You know, it just had nothing to do at all with this personal story. So yeah, there's something very random about thoughts. And we don't, another thing I've learned by watching the mind, if the mind is thinking on one track and you learn to put that track aside, the mind just picks up another track. You know, and if you learn to put that track aside, it'll go back to the previous track or it'll pick up a third track. And the mind appears to only want to be busy. It doesn't really care what you're thinking about. So there's no real purpose to the thinking other than keeping the ego seeming to be me, keeping the mind seeming to be me, right? It has no purpose. It doesn't care what you think about. So yeah, I don't think we know exactly where the thoughts, how the thoughts come to be. You know, this is a symbol, but I don't think anybody could tell you this is exactly how thoughts show up. But what we do know is that you know, when a thought does show up, just because it shows up, that doesn't mean you have to take this really strong personal responsibility for it. You know, and of course I have two guys in the room, so I don't know how well this example will work, but one of the examples that Holy Spirit used with me was shopping at TJ Maxx. Do you guys know anything about shopping at TJ Maxx? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know that in a regular department store, you go up to a rack, like all the blouses may look alike, they're just different sizes. But when you go to TJ Maxx, they're all different. Right?
And then they get mixed up.
Yeah. So Holy Spirit used in my mind the example of TJ Maxx, that when I'm at TJ Maxx shopping and I'm going through the blouses, you know, most of them I won't like actually, but I have no problem saying, don't want that blouse, don't want that blouse. I don't like suffer. Oh my God, I don't want that blouse. I'm so guilty because I don't want that. You know, I don't suffer. I just don't want that blouse. And then when I find a blouse I do want, I take it out and go, oh yeah, I'll try this one, right? Well, Spirit taught me the thoughts are really the same thing. Thoughts are just like blouses at TJ Maxx. You know, you can have all of these thoughts show up in the mind, but just because they show up in the mind doesn't mean you have to take them, right? You just let them say, nope, not interested in that one. Nope, not interested in that one. And then a thought says, oh yeah, now there's a thought I'm interested in. I can take that thought out. You know, and another example that was given to me was like looking at a menu in a restaurant. You know, I scan the menu. There's lots of things on that menu I don't want to eat. I don't worry about that.
You don't feel terrible.
I don't feel terrible because I don't want to eat all those things. I just find the one I do want. So thoughts are the same way. You know, we take thoughts very, very personally, but they aren't really personal. They're just random. And that, you know, somehow our mind interprets them into a, takes a random energy and interprets it into a personal story. But that's just interpretation. The truth is thoughts are random. So, you know, when a judgment shows up in the mind, for example, my eyes land on a person and some type of judgment shows up in the mind. Now here's the practice I would use. I would say to myself, so I'm talking to myself, I would say to myself, I see that thought, but I'm not interested in it. And I had to be very particular about the practice for a while. At some point I didn't have to anymore. I could just quickly, you know, decide I didn't want it. But in the beginning, I needed some kind of a practice, a very, you know, so I would say, I see that thought, but I am not interested in that thought. You know, and I would just practice saying no to the thoughts without judgment. And that is what this is calling discernment. It's choosing which thoughts you really want to give your attention to and your passion to, and which thoughts you just aren't interested in. It's not what I want anymore. You know, I used to want to think that way. I realize I used to want to think that way, but it's not serving me and I don't want to think that way anymore. Now, some people beat themselves up just because the thought showed up. And if you beat yourself up just because the thought showed up, you're going to get in a trap. So the thought shows up, you have nothing to do with that. But once it shows up, you get to decide how interested you are in it. So, starting with sentence 11. Give greetings to the heart by practicing discernment with the heart. Let its desire be the judge of the thoughts you will keep and the thoughts you will let go. Remember this. The desire of the heart is only this, for this is the only desire it would place on the flow of creation that is you. Know thyself. Be willing to know thyself without distraction, and you give true greeting to the heart. So what this is saying is, you know, keep your purpose in mind all the time. Whatever, you know, this is saying the purpose is know thyself, but you know, some people have, you know, maybe the purpose right now is to learn not to be angry all the time, or maybe the purpose right now is to learn not to have grievances, or maybe the purpose right now is to learn not to feel guilty all the time. You know, people can have different purposes at different stages. The point is, first of all, to be clear on what your spiritual purpose is. And then the second thing is, with your spiritual purpose kind of as the criteria, to look at a thought and say, is this helpful? You know, if my spiritual purpose is to be at peace, is it helpful when I start thinking these political thoughts? Right? No. Well, then I'm not interested. You know, if my spiritual purpose is to always feel gentle, be gentle because I feel gentle, I am gentle. Well then, is it helpful when these harsh judgments come, if I believe them? And you can't stop them from coming, but is it helpful? Does that hardness that I get out of believing a thought, is that in alignment with that feeling of gentle I want to have about myself, right? And you just kind of learn to look at the thoughts, and really what you're asking yourself is this in alignment with my chosen purpose? And if it's not in alignment with your chosen purpose, you just say, not interested. If it is in alignment with your chosen purpose, then you say, yeah, thank you. I'm going to contemplate this. I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to act on this, right? And again, some of the thoughts that may show up that may be in alignment with your purpose may be thoughts that are telling you, like, quit talking now. You know, like you said, that's too much. Wait. You know, wait, that may be a thought that's in alignment with your purpose, you know? Shh, listen to this other person. That may be a thought that's in alignment with your purpose. So you'll start recognizing the ones that are really guiding you in the direction you've chosen to go and the ones that are going in other directions. And you just want to let go of the ones that are going in other directions and try to follow the ones that are guiding you in the direction that you've chosen to go, right? They're showing up to help you with your own purpose. So, verse 16, share all that I share with you, with your brothers, through your contemplation. For as you contemplate my words, you learn them. As you learn them, you accept them. As you accept them, you desire and practice them. And as you desire and practice them, you teach them on the flow of life that is you. So this is not saying, okay, when you leave NTI tonight, you know, go home to whoever you live with or call up your friends and preach, oh, this is what I learned. This is saying, contemplate this first until you feel that you fully understand it, and then begin to live it, right? Begin to be it. And as you begin to be it, as you begin to really practice this, you will be teaching through your demonstration. And people will notice the change in you. You know, and sometimes people are even going to ask, hey, what's up? You know, I see you're changing a lot. What's up? And, you know, and they may start asking you, you know, how are you doing this? But the way that you teach is by first contemplating these words and accepting them as truly helpful, and then through your willingness or through your desire, beginning to actually practice them or live them in your life. Place your mind in subordination to your heart in great joy. For in placing the mind in subordination to the heart, you join with yourself in the true desire of self. So placing your mind in subordination to your heart really means that your mind's desires are not as important as your heart's desire or your chosen purpose. Right? And so you're going to ask your mind now to support your heart instead of your mind just taking off in its own direction. I come to you through our true desire, which is ours together because we are one. Blessings to you in your practice. I am with you always. Amen. And that is the end of Colossians. So next week we will start NTI 1 Thessalonians. So we need an assignment. And this, you know, this seemed to be talking about discernment. And again, discernment is looking at your mind without judgment, but just kind of deciding which thoughts are helpful to me to place my attention on, and which thoughts are really not helpful to me to place my attention on, and then seeing if you can let them go, change your mind, put your attention elsewhere, right? So what if we just try that this week? What if we just try practicing discernment and see what happens, see what kind of experiences we have as we practice?
Sounds interesting.
Good. Okay, then I will stop the recorder.